Hola, flamencos y aficionados. I am your host, Cristina de Sacramento, and you are listening to the, what would we say? Well, today's April 20th, so it's Easter, and I'm in the studio, and I'm playing a new Poquito y Bueno for you from the archives, August 27th, 2009. This is going to be an interview with Susana Di Palma, which is only appropriate since we just finished a series of, well, it's one interview cut into a series from Michael Hauser, who just had a birthday. My understanding was that it was on the 18th of April. Happy birthday, Don Miguel. So, without further ado, we are going to start this show, and I think that you'll really enjoy it. It's a little different from our normal shows, whatever that is. Okay. There we go. Flamencos y aficionados. I'm Cristina de Sacramento, Artistic Director of Onda Flamenco Company and School, and your host for Poquito y Bueno, a short and sweet half-hour of flamenco music, news, and interviews. We're coming to you every week from Fresh Air Radio, KFAI, broadcasting from 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and 106.7 FM in St. Paul, Minnesota, USA, and streaming on the World Wide Web. That's KFAI, Radio Sin Fronteras. This week, we'll take a musical tour of some pieces that you'd be studying if you were a 12-year-old girl from Minnesota holding your first pair of castanets and contemplating your upcoming performance. Today and in the weeks to come on Poquito y Bueno, we're going to be talking with Susana Di Palma, the artistic director of Zorongo Dance Theater, which is based here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Today, Susanna talks about her first days of flamenco as a 12-year-old, recruited from ballet class to be the dance partner of a young Mexican boy whose former partner, his older sister, had suddenly outgrown him by quite a few inches. Susanna's first task was to master the castanet, so I've chosen pieces today that feature two masters of that genre, Lucero Terna and Maria Magdaleno. In the piece you just heard, the dance from La Vida Breve, Lucero Terna not only did the castanets, but she also did the footwork, and in a couple of places at the same time. Not an easy feat. Next, let's hear from Susanna herself. We are here with Poquito y Bueno, and we are lucky to have with us today Susanna Di Palma, the undisputed maestra of flamenco here in the Twin Cities in the USA. Susanna, how are you this morning?
I'm very good, Cristina. ¿Qué tal?
Muy bien, gracias. So, Susanna and I were just chatting about breakfast here, doing a sound check, and Susanna informed me that she religiously eats whole milk, Greek yogurt, and berries for breakfast. My stomach is starting to rumble already. It sounds great. So you're fit and ready to talk to us, right?
Right.
Well, so my first question is going to kind of be what I ask everybody, which is, how did you come to flamenco? You originally were studying ballet, was it?
Yes, I was a little girl, and I was studying ballet here in Minneapolis, and a Mexican family moved here from Mexico City, and they had a boy and a girl, and the boy was 12, and the girl was 14, and she was way too, and they danced flamenco and Mexican folk, dances folklore, and so they were looking for a new partner for David, because the girl had grown so tall that they looked very strange dancing together. So they wanted to find a dark little girl who would look Latina. And so they came to ballet classes, and I was about the only one at the time that was...
dark.
Yeah, darker. So they started teaching me Spanish classical dances. And so I learned my first estudias with castanets and all of that, and
wow.
And all those things when I was like 12.
That's impressive.
So I got my castanets down early. That really helped.
Yeah. Where did you get your first pair of castanets? Did they have them, or?
They brought them with them, and they were made of wood. You know, they were pretty good. I think they were even Galeanos, which are certainly, I mean, he was the castanet maker at the time.
That's right.
For many, many years.
Yes, he was for many, many years. I remember... You know, someone sent me to get some castanets at the store once. Of course, no one ever has an idea when you go off to Spain and they say, hey, would you pick me up, you know, because the stores that carried Galeanos, I couldn't find any in the stores, so I had to go out way to the suburbs, like a two-hour bus ride, and then it's back and forth down the street trying to find the number, which didn't happen to be painted on the studio, and then you start asking the neighbors, and of course that's what I should have done in the first place, because everybody knows everybody on any street, you know, and went to the little shop where they were making this stuff. Although it's just like the shoe shops. You sit in the front and all the interesting things go on in the back. Now, if I'd had a radio show, I could have gone in and interviewed them.
Well, I mean, those were the days when, yes, and he was a little toothless man, and he carved all the castanets by hand.
Wow.
And, you know, the different sizes for all the major dance companies. So you would sometimes, in the early days, you'd have to wait for your castanets for like 6 months.
Well, he was carving.
And then, of course, they'd come in the mail. And, I mean, it was like Gallardo shoes in those days, too. There was one or two shoemakers in all
right.
of Spain. And if you needed shoes in the spring when it was a big season for all the dance companies to go on tour, you would really have to wait for your shoes.
Yeah.
If they didn't fit, that was just too bad, because they looked pretty and there was so much aesthetic pride that was what was important, whether they wrecked your feet or not. That's why so many of us have bad backs and bad knees, is because sometimes the shoes didn't fit right. But there was that sense of craftsmanship in those days, certainly. And you couldn't buy shoes on the internet or any, you know, shortcut route. It
no.
was like find a friend who was going to Spain, someone like Christina, who was the queen of shoppers.
Right, and someone who's a chump. I remember the first time that I went when in the days when Corrales was on Cava Baja, you know, and I had everybody give me money for the shoes because you had to pay in cash.
You had to pay in cash.
You had to pay in cash in those days. So I had everybody deposit money in my bank account. And Cava Baja was not the worst of streets, but it was not in the best of neighborhoods. And so then to get the money out of the cash machines, I had to start planning 12 days in advance, you know, and taking out $250 and $250 and $250 until I had like $2,500. And then you're walking down the street with $2,500 in your purse to go pay for the shoes. And of course, remember, you'd sit there for... to make the orders out. I mean, it's still tough today, but you'd sit there and the ladies would, anybody Spanish who came in, your order was interrupted. And they'd chat with them and do that whole thing. And then they'd get back to writing out your order for 15 pairs of shoes. It was a whole day ordeal.
And then they'd show up, they'd finally in the mail 3 months later, and they'd be all the wrong sizes.
Right, or the wrong colors. Or the
wrong colors.
It was just, I know. It was, I'm glad they have them on the internet now. I don't miss that shopping chore at all.
No.
Not at all. So then when you, after, so you're 12 and you can do us. Next up. Is that Asturias, to which Susana de Palma played castanets at such a young and tender age? Asturias was the piece that Susana used to drill us for with our castanet exercises when I was her student, and I would always moan, "Can't you find a slower version?" Well, evidently she couldn't, and I couldn't find a version of Asturias with castanets to play for you today. So here's John Williams on guitar, unaccompanied by castanets, playing Asturias, which was composed by Isaac Albéniz, and you are just going to have to imagine the castanets. Thank you. Well, let me tell you, I quit imagining castanets about 10 seconds into that piece. So beautiful. Such an amazing amount of nuance and subtlety. And it makes you realize that if someone does accompany that piece with castanets, they have to be so talented, because it really does have to be a duet. And you have to be able to produce an incredible array of textures and sounds on your castanets. So take your castanets off if you were trying to accompany that piece, and run and get your pen, because it's time for our local flamenco calendar. The Michael Hauser Duo will be at Conga Latin Bistro Thursday, August 27th, and Onda Flamenco will return to Conga on Thursday, September 3rd. The shows start at 7 o'clock, but happy hour starts at 6, so get there early and get a good seat and get a good deal on food and drink. But be sure to have the hostess seat you. And remember, Conga is located at 501 East Hennepin in Minneapolis. Michael Hauser Duo is also going to play the Sunday brunch from 11 to 12 at the Hotel Sofitel on Highway 494 and 100 in Bloomington. And stop in for a bite at the Falafel King on 84th and Lindale on Fridays or Saturdays. And you'll also hear Michael Hauser and, or actually, one of the two of them, Michael Hauser or his brother Tony, on guitar. Taking us out today is the queen of flamenco technique classes, Maria Magdalena. And she's playing an astonishing castanet accompaniment to an 11.5-minute seguiria played by Pepe Romero, sung by Chano Lobato, and danced by Paco Romero, with whom I had a quick chat this year in Jerez. He told me that he was glad that he had put enough money away for a comfortable retirement from his teaching days, because he wouldn't want to be teaching these days. Everyone's a star and has their own company by the age of 20, he told me. And he didn't say it respectfully. But you've got to respect the castanets that are coming up. Listen for an incredible 15-second string of carretillas that sounds like the crickets outside on a Minnesota night in late August.
Perdón.
I'm your host, Cristina de Sacramento, and once again, you've been listening to Poquito y Bueno, webcasting at www.kfai.org. That's Fresh Air Radio, KFAI, Radio Sin Fronteras. We welcome your questions and suggestions. Please contact us at poquitoybueno@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us again next week. My goodness, that was really quite a piece of work. And one more thing before we close. I forgot to tell you that KFAI's Pledge Week officially ended on Saturday, April 19th, but that's 2025 because I'm back to real time now. But you can still pledge, and they will still accept it, and they will be happy to accept it. So why don't you go to kfai.org, and right there, when it opens up, will be a donation page. And, you know, there are two people who donate every year, and that's it. All right, so our show is kind of low on the donation line. So, you know, if you can send in $5, that'd be great. I know everybody wants your money right now. I get really tired of it. But believe me, they can use it here. I'm doing shows from the archives because there's only one CD player in the room, and it is across the floor from where I'm talking to you now, and from the soundboard, and from the computer. So it's really not possible to do an actual show in this studio anymore, or we'd have lots of dead air, or I would be spending lots of time editing that dead air out. So help us get another CD player in here so I can get back to work for you guys. Okay. Happy forthcoming spring, I hope.